Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
A hot air balloon straining at the stitching of its silk seams, a vase overflowing, a dam creaking under the pressure of a billion tons of water waiting to destroy downstream habitations, a spit take about to be taken, a piping bag too ambitiously stuffed with cream cheese frosting. You wake with a start. You're 40 and a half weeks pregnant and still pregnant, which is more pregnant than most people are at 40 and a half weeks, but it's okay. You know you're delivering one thing this week, and it's The Gargle. Welcome to The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Laura Davis.
Hello.
And James Nokise.
Hello.
Welcome to this special extended edition of The Gargle.
So extended.
So unfortunately extended, distended even. Before we light the candles and get into the deep breathing session that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of the magazine. The front cover this week of the magazine is the tweet that Elon Musk did that a successful Neuralink implant has been put into a human person's head, which was reported as news by every outlet, despite the fact that it failed to be corroborated by Neuralink itself. So that's the state of the news in the world at the moment. Would you put a chip in your head?
I put many chips in my head. They were all had salt and vinegar. I don't think I have space for the chip. There's a lot in here. What's it going to bump out a place?
But also, like, all these ambitious sort of tech projects always end up being degraded by the enchitification of things. So I feel like what's going to happen is they'll do a few successful brain implants and then they'll start selling a subscription service and it will become the new blue check. And then, you know, they'll have 10 people who are being filmed with a chip in their heads and you can vote on whether to make them punch themselves in the balls or not.
Or there'll just be a better chip in, like, that comes out 6 months later and you've got the equivalent of, like, an iPod Nano imprinted in your skull.
Or you'll get serious brain surgery in order to get, like, Breaking Bad, and then they'll just take it off the streaming service in your sleep one day. The satirical cartoon this week is an online hustle culture influencer saying, "I don't care how many spiders the average person swallows in their sleep every year. I bet I can do better. Maximize your spider swallowing potential." Top story this week is the news that the viral Stanley Cup phenomenon may have feet of clay, or rather feet of lead. The news that apparently they are harbouring lead in their bases, which I've got to say is worrying in a thing that you're meant to be drinking from. James Nokise, you're well hydrated. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, I thought I was doing it because I've definitely drunken lead. I was initially surprised to find out this was not a hockey-related story. because my knowledge of Stanley Cups was the trophy that they have in the American hockey sports situation. But though these are the viral cups, the I think they're meant to be camping cups originally, isn't it? Or is it one of those things where they've become, they were camping cups and then they've become sort of urbanized.
Therefore the digital nomad.
Digital, the Land Rover Yoga Mum cup.
And yeah, starts with campers, moves to Mormon mums who aren't allowed to drink coffee, and then via water talk hits the teens and then goes viral. That's the that's the pathway of the Stanley Cup to the mouths of the youth.
And it was all taking off and just like a very innocent drink out of these cool cups. And then it turns out, I believe it's to do with the vacuum between the inner and outer layer of the cup. They've discovered there's lead, or potential for be lead in some of the cups. So now all of these people may have been ingesting lead, which can cause a whole bunch of medical problems.
They've been led to the lead.
They've been led to the lead. And
I think they would be happy. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink lead out of a Stanley cup.
Well, I think it would make them happy because this can only lead...
The lead?
Yes, because...
I think that is a side effect.
This can only result in more TikToks about what to do if you've accidentally drunk lead. My cousin tried this after ingesting lead and it regrew their hair. Our horses, we've actually found, have more lead in their blood than humans, and that's why they run faster, and a whole bunch of other content creation just waiting there to be unleashed. Unleaded,
I feel like,
content,
this is the
if
natural...
you will.
I feel like this is the natural life cycle of a hype cycle, in that everyone has now bought a Stanley Cup, and the nature of a reusable cup is that you're not really going to buy that many more of them, putting aside the people who buy hundreds of these things and collect them like they're Pokemons. But the point is, it's a reusable cup, so that's your cup for life or for 10 years or whatever. So what better to happen to the market than that now everyone has to throw out their Stanley Cups and find a new unleaded clean girl aesthetic? So I feel like this is a wonderful news for the cup market.
What would be amazing is if it turned out that the leak had come from Stanley Cups, and then they launched some sort of campaign. We'll take back your old cups. And then they just resell those cups in a year or so, going, we fixed the cups.
Or like the amnesty on guns in Australia after the Port Arthur shootings, where they were like, yeah, you can just hand your guns in.
Well, in many ways, Alice, this is the Port Arthur of social media cup content.
Yes,
I think that's what they're calling it in small states of the United States.
I feel like the Stanley Cup is a slightly less lethal lead delivery mechanism than a gun. But
well, I mean, that depends how many cups you own, really. So some people have made major investments. They come in a rainbow of colors, Alice. You know, some have got blue, red, green, one for each day, one for each yoga class. And a couple for each child.
It's so many cups.
It's an upsetting number of cups. And I, for one,
real sort of
eagerly await the next thing.
I've never really...
It's a real corporate Eucharist to drink from the leaded Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I've never really understood this kind of social content creation. Like I said, I thought this was sports related. Initially, I was very excited. We never do sports properly on the Gargle. And then I was like, no, it's weird social media stuff again. Yeah. And I've never really understood how the cup things take off. Like how one person just starts drinking from a Stanley cup with some bullshit. And then people are like, I like that bullshit. Let's also drink from Stanley cups.
You'd have to ask the Pope, James.
That's true. I'm not Catholic. So it's
that and a Krispy Kreme donut is the Eucharist, and then you join the church.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Chicken Soup for the Soul Trader, homemade remedies for the existential angst of taking time off as a creative. That's my new book, which will be written entirely while breastfeeding. Remember, 9 out of 10 cosmetic surgeons agree biological inevitability is shameful. If you don't stay beautiful forever, you're worthless. And cryogenic freezing really is the only way to stop the aging process. But maybe you don't have the budget. Try our Home Forever Young Self-Freezing Cryo Kit. Fully equipped with home guillotine, head jar, and powdered formaldehyde solution, just add half a glass of water and you too can extend your possible life for eternity. Or at least give your children something horrible to keep on their mantelpiece. Forever.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Top story, AI George Carlin was a lie. Lie spelt with an AI. Apparently, the George Carlin AI special that is being sued by the daughter of George Carlin has been revealed to be fake AI, which is to say somebody pretending to be AI, pretending to be George Carlin, their defense in court against the accusation that they used AI to replicate George Carlin's voice is that actually they did not. Laura Davis, you speak with the dead. Can you unpack this story for us?
I think, you know, as a fan of George Carlin, I feel like it's fairly to say this is not what he would have wanted. I think the idea that they wrote it and passed it off as AI is, you know, it's true cowardice. It is very funny. I think they have said that it is not AI because that is a more serious copyright claim. Like, so they can be sued for more money if it was AI generated than if they wrote sort of a pastiche on their own volition. So I don't really even believe that it wasn't generated by the AI. I think the AI wrote it, but there's still, I think, probably a lot of prompts that they may have put in on, you know, certain issues that they would have liked material to be generated on. So, you know, different political hotbeds that they wish to fabricate an opinion on. And it really is... It's properly dystopian, and it's really, like, it is fascinating. And where does it stop?
Much work not to do the work. I mean, it's so incredibly much work to put out a special where you pretend that you did none of the work. I don't understand the motivation.
And then lie and say that you did because the work was so bad. You had to take credit for it.
A computer couldn't have written something this bad.
That's exactly the argument that they are forced to make of themselves. I don't know. If I die, will you put all of my comedy into an AI machine and resurrect me from the dead?
Only if you really wanted me to.
Yes, please.
But I wouldn't be happy about it. I wouldn't be happy about it while I did it. I'd be really angry.
With Laura, the chore itself would be the joke, not not the end result.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't get anything good.
It's impossible to replicate your unique voice. in the way that it's impossible, I think, to replicate anyone's, right?
The legal argument is that you should not. That, you know, there's different ways of sort of paying homage to somebody, but, you know, fictionalizing opinions long after they're dead on issues that they never encountered is maybe not polite.
I mean, have you met religious people? Because
yeah, just keep bringing more back. Which other dead celebrities are we getting opinions from? I want Rasputin's opinion on the AI controversy, please.
I think the most disappointing thing is that, you know, these are crimes by comedians, and as famous comedian crimes go over the past decade, somehow still quite bad. But it's Carlin. Like, be brave. Commit to the bit and show up in court saying that it's not AI, it's not you, it's actually George Carlin himself, because one night you got too stoned and out of nowhere this phone booth just came out of the ground and out steps George Carlin with a couple of teenagers and electric guitars and told you what his next special would be. Like, if you're just going to be
get a
comics,
burning bush involved.
Yeah. George Carlin showing up as a
Chuck
time traveler.
Chuck a Coleridge, get high on opium and say that it came to you in a dream. Like, at least that.
But what about not just the comedians that are dead, but the ones that are dead to us? Like, can we have a Louis C.K. special where he hasn't committed any sex offences? Can we run all the material prior to the sex offences through and see if we can sort of rewrite history? Is there like a forking off point that we could start to rewrite the timeline? Get more creative if you're going to do that.
I mean, if there is a burning bush of stand-up comedy, there's probably Louis C.K. in the bush.
They're all in the bush.
And that brings us to our reviews section, which this week, because it's a special extended edition, is a themed section. The theme of the stories this week is that there's some level of deception or rug pull involved. So I'm asking our guest editors to bring in the thing that they are most disappointed with. Your biggest disappointment, James Nokise, what have you got? And you can rate it out of 5 stars if you like.
Look, my biggest disappointment so far this year is that I'm in the UK and there's been no snow, and I'm quite north, and I've had storm after storm, and they do this slightly psychotic thing here where they name heavy storms. You know how in the Pacific region we name cyclones because they're proper storms, or you get hurricanes. In Britain, they just go, oh, that's a bad storm. Let's give it a name. And it just feels like it just undercuts the threat of a major storm. Like, if it's not a cyclone and it's not a hurricane, it's just Thursday. You know, and it's British people walking around going, oh, it's Isha. Oh, it's Jocelyn. Now, if you have such, like, innocent-sounding names in the Pacific, that's a Category 5. Like, you know... That's 200 mile per hour winds. And here it's like sleet.
This is inflation at work. This is what happens. You start by naming your pets and you end by naming your sea monkeys. So if you go from naming big storms to naming just petty storms, it devalues the storm market entirely.
I do think, Alice, that Brexit might be behind this, because it just feels like everything is more disappointing in the UK since Brexit's happened, and that includes, I wanted a blizzard, you know, I want a reason. When they tell me the train is delayed for 5 hours and cancelled, I want to know it's because there's major earth-shattering weather going on, not a branch on a track somewhere in Scotland. I think that's my major disappointment is the weather. Not apocalyptic enough.
Insufficiently apocalyptic out of 5 stars. Laura, what have you brought in for us?
Well, my mother always told me that I would never truly understand what disappointment was until after I'd had children. But this week I did have a croissant that was so bad it made me question just everything. Like, I bought it on the walk to the park. I was like, you're hungry, and the croissants are not the cheapest, but you're hungry now, and you deserve to eat. You can have a croissant. You like croissants. And then I had this croissant, and I was like, this croissant, you've done something wrong in your life to deserve this croissant. This croissant is a reckoning for something that you did not see coming. This croissant is tough. It is rubbery. You cannot part the flakes of pastry with your teeth. You need a knife. You need to involve steel with this croissant. This croissant requires tools. This croissant requires a hardware shop. This croissant does not deserve to be eaten in a park. This croissant deserves to be eaten off a factory floor that you found in a corner. And I don't know how it has come your way, but I regret every wrong that I have done to bring it upon myself. And that was my greatest disappointment, was this particular very bad croissant.
It is good to have something that sort of crystallizes and actualizes the worst experience.
There are far worse things in the world, but that croissant is definitely up there.
Oh yeah, and it's the level of expectation, and it's the moment, you know, it's disappointment being such a subjective thing.
The same evil forces of man that created that croissant have created all the other things that are going on. It's at the root. We're talking on like a psychic plane here. That
croissant, it's a manifestation comes from of the heart same of darkness.
Realm of the blackness of man and the depths to which we will sink.
I just applaud the naturalization you've gone through, Laura, that you've been living in the UK for 6 months and you're already the worst thing is the French. I think that's amazing adjustments that you've made. I'm very proud of you and the way you're embracing British culture.
The moment I get on the Eurostar, I'm willing to swap sides.
And that brings us to our Book Talk News. Book Talk News this week is the news that influences, including underage influencers on TikTok, say that they were offered payment to create sexually suggestive videos in order to promote a book, which is sort of worrying and depressing. James Nokise, you're a reader. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, man. Here's the thing. If you're writing a book and it's called Behind a Closed Door, and it's like, and it's listed as 50 Shades meets David Fincher's The Game. That's your tagline. If you've already in like summoned this much creepiness to the artwork, don't do anything sexual towards underage influencers. Don't even write the word sexual. Like don't approach. You can't write that kind of book and then approach underage influencers and say, hey, could you sex it up to make the book be controversial? I mean, look, they're getting media coverage. I don't know if it's going to be the same way. I don't think people are going to be leaping out to grab this thing from the airport shelves like there were 50 Shades.
Not when you can get just a good pedo book free in every hotel room you stay at. It's in the bedside drawer. Just open it up.
This is the best-selling author, J.D. Barker, who has claimed that he knew nothing about this campaign, that this was an act by his PR agents without his consent, but that he takes full responsibility because he ought to have been paying attention to what his PR people would have been doing.
Don't take full responsibility.
I wonder if you can use the same AI technology as the Carlin specials, sort of the way that AI sort of magnifies themes. If you can put, like, every book that is published should be run through sort of an extrapolation of itself so that anything sort of grim in it is revealed. Like, it might not be that this book is super off color, but if you sort of, you know, times it by 1,000 monkeys on 1,000 typewriters, do you end up with a dystopian pedophilic hellscape, in which case maybe we go back to the editor.
Well, Some of the suggestions that they made, that these PR agents made for people to create racy content regarding this book, was to pan a camera up their body using only the book to cover up their naughty bits, or that the camera should focus on the influencer and then flash to a taboo place where they claim to have had sex. The email with the PR agent suggestions continued that the creators are willing, happy, free to come up with something sexy on their own, which is so creepy because, again, some of the influencers to which this email was sent were underage. And even if you're not underage, don't tell me to Adam and Eve myself with a with a creepo book.
There's also a small bit of racism that they snuck in, which is that they mentioned the PR company's definitely in Central America. They want to make sure that's in all the correspondence. This is a Central American PR firm, even though getting underage girls to do rude stuff to promote your book is the most middle-aged white American man thing that you will ever read.
It's also just not very fairly paid labor. Like, if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to be in that arena, at least unionize. You know, that you're doing a lot of unpaid promotional work. When they say, feel free to come up with something sexy on your own, you go, no, that is additional creative labor and you will be paying for it.
There's also one small thing here as well, which people have pointed out, which is that the PR firm Best of TikTok, one of the founders is the author, which, again, if you're going to come in and say, take full responsibility, but you're not taking full responsibility for the creepiness. You're taking full responsibility for hiring the firm that did the creepiness, but you're one of the people that made the firm.
I mean, apparently this firm is a separate firm. He's blaming a different firm for generating this particular email.
Have I misread that? Is it not the same firm?
He started a BookTok firm, which makes people think that this may have been generated by him, but he said the email was not meant to go out without a substantial rewrite, and through a chain of errors, it was released into the wild early. But I don't know what level of substantial rewrite you're looking at here to have it not be creepy. But his statement is very beautiful. It says, I have nothing but the deepest respect for women. I'm a husband. I'm a father. Which I feel is always the best response to an accusation of sexism, which is, I've got some women.
I own a couple myself.
Yeah. I'm a husband. I'm a father. And if you like women in dungeons, with a hint of psychological degradation, have I got the book for you? Like, check on his wife.
And that brings us to our final story, which is the news that due to a proliferation of fake AI images of a nude Taylor Swift, the microblogging platform X has now banned searching for Taylor Swift on Twitter. So there's much outrage in various directions, accusations that perhaps they've blocked the term because she might prompt people to vote for the Democrats, accusations that you just don't want to see these sexy images of AI Taylor Swift, including a number of people who found these images of AI Taylor Swift and are body shaming the AI generated nude pictures of Taylor Swift. It's all a bit of a schmozzle. Laura Davis, you understand microblogging platforms. Can you unpack this story for us?
I do not understand microblogging platforms. does this AI make me look fat? Is great. That's a great addition to this the dystopia. In a similar vein, slightly separate, the MP in Australia who just had their photo run in Channel 9 News, and they had revealed, like, they'd edited her dress to be a midriff dress, and they'd made her breasts bigger and done some sort of filter on her face, and she, you know, quite reasonably complained and said, this is not happening to male MPs, and Channel 9 has said it was an AI error as well, that the robot, and it is an AI quirk, you know, it is a function of it where it does, you know, it does extrapolate bias, so any existing bias is already there. I really think it's interesting to watch sort of big cultural giants like Taylor Swift come up against these very specific problems of modernity and watch the way that opinion can swing. Like, to have comments underneath of like, this AI image is ugly. This AI image is not what I wanted to see. This is, you know, this woman is ugly in real life and in AI. Like, it's really
messy. It's an extension also of the imaginative play that I feel like misogynists have always participated in, which is, I wouldn't f*** that lady, as though it were an option. And now it's taken the next step to, I wouldn't f*** what I imagine that lady might be.
Yes. The thing that they're finding ugly is this extrapolation of their own hatred. Like, it's the tits are the mirror to their idea of tits. Like, they're just standing in an endless refraction of themselves.
And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back of this magazine. Laura, have you got anything to plug?
I would like to plug The Edit, which is the show James and I are running at The Stand in Edinburgh once a month. It's a political comedy night trying to make a nice space for comedians to come down and try new political material that they might not be able to try at your standard, like, stag and hen do open mic.
And James, what have you got to plug?
I've got a new book. It's called Inside the Garage. It's a mixture of Taylor Swift AI-generated images and David Fincher's just more body horror work.
This is why I don't let you out of that room.
Go along and see The Edit if you're in Edinburgh. I hear it is expanding soon, but if you want to see some new political comedy being worked out on stage by some of the best people, go see that at The Stand once
a month.
It's all written by AI. I'm Alice Fraser. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, blogs, as well as my weekly writers' meetings, which will continue through my maternity leave. That's patreon.com/AliceFraser. You can join that for $1 a month and get access to all sorts of exciting things, including my two most recent shows, Twist and Kronos, which are available also on Go Faster Stripe. If you don't want to join the Patreon, gofasterstripe.com, and you get both of those shows for £10. If you join the Patreon, you get them for free, or for however much you join the Patreon. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. If you want to support the Bugle family of shows, please go to thebuglepodcast.com and click on the subscribe button. It's a voluntary subscription for all of the incredible shows under the Bugle umbrella. You will be supporting this show. You will also be supporting the original and the best. So thebuglepodcast.com and click subscribe. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. Your editor is Ped Hunter. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.